We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And we're talking Pottawatomie County business here today with Commissioner Dee McKee and Public Information Officer Crystal Malchos. We've been talking about the health department, and I know Crystal has some information she wanted to pass along here on recruitment efforts out there.
Yes, thank you. Right now, it looks like everybody's hiring. The time with after everything with COVID, a number of the businesses either closing temporarily or permanently, unfortunately for some of them, that everybody's now picking back up. We've got openings, and we're hiring for a number of positions in public works. We have seasonal laborers, truck drivers, technicians, section patrolmen. They're the ones that go out and grade the roads. We're seeking a deputy for the sheriff's office, as well as a PRN dispatcher. So if somebody wants to help assist our emergency calls for 911 on an as-needed basis, that would be great. We're looking for a public works management assistant as well. They handle most of the office information and administrative activities for public works. It's an exempt position. We're looking for a sprayer operator for our noxious weed department, as well as a seasonal operator for noxious weed. And we're looking for a director of human resources, as my last day with the county will be May 14th.
All right. I'm sad to hear that, Crystal. You've been a welcome asset.
I'm sad to hear it. But usually she's a very smart woman, but right now I'm not sure.
Crystal, are you going back to the private sector or?
No, I am staying public sector. I am just transferring over a little bit to Geary County.
Oh, okay.
I will start with them on May 24th.
Okay, well, very good. Well, you'll still be in our region, so we'll still be able to work with you then.
I'll be happy to continue visiting with you any chance I get.
All right. Well, that's.
And I want to thank her for all her service to the county. She's done an excellent job.
Thank you, Dee.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, obviously, having positions open, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, it's good when you're hiring. And there's people out there that need jobs, and especially public works. You guys have so much. I always say this to my wife. She probably gets sick of me talking about it, but it's like there's so many roads in Pottawatomie County, especially the gravel roads. Can't be easy to maintain on short staff.
We are a county unit system on the roads, which means that the townships, usually in a lot of counties, have their own graders and trucks. We run it across the whole county through a central office, and that way if we have a flood at one end, we can send five trucks and graders or lifts or whatever we need to together, and it has made it much more efficient.
We're still here.
My earphones went down then.
Did you come unplugged?
That's all right. I don't need to hear me. we can take care of things by responding to rapidly, and that has made a difference. I was saying at Ford County when I was a commissioner, we had townships, and a lot of times they go till they're almost broke, and they don't necessarily respond until the different person is whoever's in charge of it, and the township is done cutting wheat or taking care of their own cattle. And so it has been maybe more staff on, as it appears, for a county, because a lot of people don't look at townships as an operation. And we do similarly with the fire department, except for several cities who've retained their city fire department county unit, and we have all the same like brush trucks, pump trucks, so that if they respond to each other, they know how to turn them on, turn them off, have the same new air packs, and so on. Makes it much better. We continue to evaluate the effectiveness of that, but it does really kind of give a little camaraderie across the system as well, and sometimes some challenges, but more efficiency than I see in the other world, where every township owns a grader and owns a dump truck and tries to own, you know, what they need to take care of themselves. And in the experience across the state, when that happens and a township gets too small with no tax base to take care of it, it's not that another township wants to adopt them. They don't want to take on the cost without having some resources. And so that experience is out there in the western part of the state in some cases. I don't know the status because it's been several years since I ever saw it straight up. But my father-in-law was on a township board, and I got a chance to see some of those issues. And it works, but it's one of the reasons Kansas has so many local government elected people. They're all elected, and you'll hear that as a, you know, kind of like, I don't like that thing from certain people in the state who say counties are inefficient, but they don't give any way to facilitate the change, any support from the the state, and then we have 105 counties, almost all square mile roads, except for, you know, places like you see out where ranches are and so on. And that road distance in our state is so much more challenging than a lot of states have. One of those things that I noted is the bill that put us under this current send everybody a letter out if you raise your taxes thing. It was argued that because Utah had 17 counties and they were 21 counties, I'm going to be right, 21 counties, and they could do all of these things so well out there. And I looked at Utah. My sister lives out there. Coming from the east, it's all state highways. They don't have those county roads and the obligation by law to have access to property if you own it. And on the west side of the state, they have the Great Salt Lake, and they don't have any roads in that. So they're not working at the same anything like our challenges are. But I think that the state legislature this year kind of put this law in place about we cannot use an increased appreciation of value. If you're a growing county like ours, we can't use that without first sending a letter out to anybody in any of the taxing districts that are going to have the increase, and sometimes to any voter that's in that district. Well, we don't have those districts identified, so it's going to be a cost to us, and then we are going to have to mail them. And if you happen to have three kids in college, you might get five notices for one taxing district and five more for another taxing district, like the fire department decides to change. And if a third one is a school, they're going to have to get five for that. By the time all that mailing and stuff is done, basically in the hands of the county clerk, it may be very difficult for the public to receive what the legislatures think is a very efficient way to handle things. And we figure one major election mail out is probably, with labor and everything, about $60,000 in our county. But I've met with other commissioners. I'm on the State Association of Counties Board, and everybody's taking a deep breath going, well, how do we do that in the midst of all the other things that have been put upon us, including money that's coming from the federal government that we are going to have to audit with federal audits that we didn't have before the pandemic. So if you see a county commissioner and they look a little bit like their hair is gray, it is probably real.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And there's so much federal dollars. How much did Pott County get from the CARES Act?
Oh, gosh. I can't tell you. Collectively, there's different pots of money. And we just received a new one that's coming down is about $4 million something. We had money that came some to the PPP that we don't know about that went privately to companies. And then we had CARES money that we had to put through the Community Development Block Grant. I think that was, this morning that number's not clear because I've meshed it with others. We're going to receive more. And I talked to Marshall. Senator Marshall was out last Saturday. Some of that money was assigned to townships. But in our county, our townships are not elected and active. So the money's sitting there, but there's no governance to take care of it. So we still don't know the total number of dollars we will be responsible for. And you look at it, kind of shake your head, because it's coming right at the time we're still trying to do budget and recruit for a replacement for Crystal and everything else that goes into the challenge. It's a significant amount of money. I think it will help some counties. I think that the total debt will not help everybody. And part of the reason we don't have employee people is some of them are still receiving their monies and not necessarily ready to step out to a new job. And some, we have the new Manhattan Technical School now has an office in Wamego.
Right.
And they're ready to train for jobs that people need, like welding. And if anybody's a welder and wants to make money, go over there and talk to Caterpillar. They're looking for 35 people, full benefits and everything that need to be. And then they're going to be training for other things. One of the things we need more is appraisers for counties that are certified across the state. We need more people that have dropped out of truck driving and being able to run a boom truck and spray weeds. Everything's a licensed issue. But we will provide this training for people that want to go into those jobs. And generally working for a county, it's a benefits and health care and everything tied to it. And so that's the same of many businesses. They're recruiting, and people who don't have the training have a chance to get training through technical schools or just like being a realtor. It takes about 6 months, and you can be in on that. And I have my realtor's license. I'm not using it, so somebody else can take my place. Yeah. But there's just the people need to know that in the end, you're going to have to be independent to get through what will be the debt, I think. You know, it won't keep coming forever.
And that's a good point. And I've heard Pat talk about this too, but you know, you have this money coming in from the federal government. And while it helps at the county level, I'm sure it helps. It's also, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty here because it's also growing government a little bit. And I know you don't want to do that.
Well, I want safety, security, and the things that we have to do for quality of life. And I've said even with the tax lid, when we have growth of all these houses and we cannot use the increased valuation, I don't know what the state is thinking, because that really is what they wanted rural people to do, is economic development. But we can't match federal grants or anything else if they're new, if we do not have the flexibility to raise that budget. And the possibility of doing it, the technicality of doing it for us is okay, but we can't do it for everybody else that might want to do that, that gets money coming down simply by a constraint of manpower. We do not have the depth of staff that you can, you know, pull somebody from someplace else and move them across like the federal government can. But and then we don't know, and all county commissioners sort of talked about this, we don't know what the dark store appraisal, the loss of that money is really set in constitution of uniform and equal. And once they start doing that with the Board of Tax Appeals being given the permission, and I think you read in the paper, they were going to get $150,000 a year back for 3 years from the city of Manhattan on Home Depot. But with that comes 8% interest from every taxing agency that got money from them. And I don't know that the schools have the reserve for the hospitals that might be getting tax money, or the mental health, or anybody else that receives appropriations, senior citizens, everybody else really supposed to pay that 8% back. But we don't have a system necessarily to collect it, and the counties don't have it. So what's being set up here is a real future challenge, because everybody's just thinking, oh, it only affects the big cities where there's big box stores, but commercial should be all the same, all the commercial. And the law says where it's supposed to be at 30% and so on. We had a meeting with Tom Phillips, the Flint Hills Regional Council had a meeting with him, and then I called him and had him talk to the Association of County Commissioners at Topeka last week about how significant that change is going to be to having any discretionary money, because the payback is not in the budget. And the things that are discretionary programs, I hate to even name them, but the discretionary ones are the things that make life nicer, the senior citizens programs, the historical programs, all of those things, they won't close down things. But we can't do police, fire, ambulance, hospitals. You're going to reduce probably things at school if you know, the choice of things about academic versus, you know, other things that are nice, those extra supports or what I would call supplemental pays may have to be looked at. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do with it. I'm just saying that this is sitting out there, and it's far more impacting than I wish it was. And it's a very liberal three-member board that's deciding this, and I'm not sure any of them are particularly appraisers. They don't know that location is what really counts. It's not about the income in the store. And when you look at the location of, let's just take Home Depot and Menards, they put a lot of stuff out on the lot, especially, you know, they're using a lot more property to sell. Right. And it's because of location. People drive by and buy flowers, drive by and buy a playhouse. Anyway, it's complicated, but I think people should be somewhat aware that the rules changing are going to be down the line, maybe not what they thought they'd get.
Sure. Well, we got to take a break. We're going to come back more Pod County here after this on InFocus, News Radio KMAN.